Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 25th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers were the great peaceful restorative solutions at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Man, we got a bunch of stuff going on. I'm on the road today, and we're trying out a new technology, believe it or not. And I should not have done it, but I did anyway. You know how I am. I just want to be adventurous and test everything and have a great time everywhere I go. So I said, hey, guys, should I unplug this and see if it'll work a different way? And they said, yeah, try it. And then I unplugged it, and then everything went to heck in a handbasket. And so we had to re-kind of connect in a different way. We'll go ahead and recover from that as the broadcast unfolds. In the meantime, we've got all kinds of news the networks refuse to use coming your way, ladies and gentlemen. And it starts with a recap of yesterday's broadcast. Yesterday, we had on Sheriff Mack with us the first hour. He's the founder and president of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And he calls for a partnership between the citizens and local law enforcement, especially sheriffs. Mack encourages Americans and their law enforcement to stand together to protect life, liberty, and property. CSPOA.org. The goal is to help the sheriffs and the public officials keep their oaths of office. The goal is also to make sure that those who keep their oaths of office understand the proper role of limited constitutional government, replete with checks and balances and more, to understand due process of law, to understand protecting people's rights. And that's really the whole purpose for government. With Sheriff Mack, we talked about the Oklahoma gubernatorial race. Will you vote for Mark Sherwood is the question. And then we talked about moving. Would you move your family somewhere for the sacred cause of liberty? What states would you be willing to live in? And believe it or not, I'm only willing to live in Utah and Idaho. There's a lot of great states out there, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? Sadly, for a variety of reasons, there's only two states in the union that I would want to live, Utah and Idaho. Great examples. You know what? The East Coast is beautiful. But in the North, it's expensive as all get out and liberal as could be. Same thing with the West Coast. Liberal as all get out. So wipe out the coasts. You look at the upper Midwest, Minnesota, and all that kind of stuff. Way, way too cold. North Dakota, South Dakota, freezing cold. You look at the South, wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, but too dang hot, too humid, too many hurricanes, too many tornadoes, right? And so when you look at that, you go, man, the only thing I have left is the Rocky Mountains. And well, you got to avoid the border. You don't want to live in Arizona. You don't want to live in the border. You want to live in a state like Colorado, too liberal. So now you've got Utah, Nevada. Well, Nevada's a great state, but it's a gaming state. Who wants to live in the gaming mafia? Right, he wants to live in Nevada, super hot in some areas, and liberal as all get out, like in Vegas, because of the entertainment industry and because the you know, visiting population or whatever you want to call it. It's pretty transient in Vegas. You get up in North Nevada, and it's just way, way, way out in the boonies. There's nothing there, right? So the only place that I see left really are Utah and Idaho. Montana's a wonderful place, but it's too far to any airport. So there you have it, just my take. But believe it or not, if you want to learn more about this, Joel Scowls at worldaffairsbrief.com. He wrote a book called Strategic Relocation that highlights this reality that I'm pointing out as well. Some of the great places in the country would be living in Missouri, might be a great place to live. Texas, great place, but on the border. And, you know, the big cities kind of control the state. So I don't know. It's hard to know. Where would you live, ladies and gentlemen? What states would you consider? We also talked about this guy in Idaho. His name is Doug Trumbull. And he was running for sheriff in Ada County, A-D-A County, which is Boise, Idaho. And they literally skipped him, even though he was probably the most qualified and the most constitutional. Shame on the Idaho Republican Party, because they just skipped him. They had a chance when one guy literally left to put him in place, and they didn't do it. And so that's the problem that Richard Mack and I were talking about. You know, Republicans mean well, but day in and day out, ladies and gentlemen, they don't do what they ought to do, really. Okay? They mean well, they talk well, they speak well, they talk about their platform, they talk about if you get them in office, what they'll do. And every time, it's a day late and a dollar short. Every time they promise things that never get delivered on. The Republican Party is the party of almost. Anyway, we talked about Yuma County. That's Arizona. Sheriff's department or sheriff's office opens massive voter fraud investigation after 2,000 mules goes viral. Now, here's the deal. The sheriff says that's not true. Vanessa D'Souza says that is true. You say, well, wait a minute. Somebody's lying here. What's going on? I don't think so. I think the sheriff had investigations going on well before 2,000 mules. But I think as every one of us who have watched the movie or the documentary believes, hey, this has more evidence on that dumpster fire of government being out of control. And so, you know what? I think the voter fraud investigation was open before 2,000 mules. I think it might be expanded now with new evidence, new possibilities, new considerations. Right? That's the great takeaway, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about how they stole the 2020 election, 2,000 mules, a documentary film created by Dinesh D'Souza. They say it's even sufficient to change the overall outcome. I'm not convinced to that level yet. I'm convinced there's serious evidence there. I'm convinced there's serious election fraud and problems, but I'm not convinced that it would change the election. And I'll tell you why. Even if all those ballots are faked, how do you know those ballots were counted for sure? See, we don't know. And I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm just merely saying that we need to be careful as we discuss this. When we're talking about evidence, when we're talking about probable cause, who would investigate, who would prosecute? There's a lot to America, ladies and gentlemen. America is a complicated nation, and it's not just super simple all the time, okay? It's not as easy as pie, if you will. So that's something really to consider, that we got to look through these investigations, and we got to realize that usually the sheriff would do the investigation, he'd deliver the evidence, and his investigative results to a district attorney or an attorney general, in other words, another branch of government, that would then do the prosecution. And the problem is we don't have enough public officials that are willing to cooperate. The deep state is too great. And we, the people, there's not enough of us to push to demand this change. They just laugh at us, ignore us, thumb their nose at us, whatever the case may be, but we can't get it done. Well, anyway, we then responded to a Facebook comment from a guy by the name of Paul Harris, who attacked me relentlessly. But Paul, you can attack me relentlessly and be pretty abusive and offensive, but I'll be very kind to you, Paul. My question to you, my friend, is there voter and or election fraud in your county? And I don't want you to tell me no without evidence. I don't want you to give me your opinion. I don't want you to tell me what you think. I don't want you to go talk about other cases that are irrelevant from that question. I don't want you to attack the messenger, me, or anybody else. I don't want you to go off on a Donald Trump rant, rage, whatever. I don't want you to go on a Mike Lindell or a Sidney Powell or a Dinesh D'Souza attack. I want you to answer my question. Is there voter and or election fraud in your county? And if you don't know the answer, which I'm sure you do not, then I need us to prove that. I need us to do an investigation and find out. Because if there's not, then your county should be cleared as a safe haven of voter stability in America. A wonderful place to be. A place somebody ought to consider moving. Yeah, I know. Despite the hot, the cold, all that I said before, maybe a place worth moving if you don't have election fraud, if you have election integrity. That's a great place to start to bring back the proper role of government, is it not, Paul? So, my friend, I'm not here to debate it with you. I'm not here to attack the messenger or attack the Nash or anybody else. I'm not here to split the people working on vote fraud investigations or election fraud investigations. I'm here to ask the fundamental question, is there vote fraud and or election fraud in your county? And if you can answer either way with definitive information, then great. If you can't, we need to do the investigation. America's depends on it. Now, we did issue the press release. Did you know that? Yeah, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association did indeed issue our press release yesterday to over 6,300 plus media outlets. More in seconds. I'm Sam Bushman. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So I'm talking about the press release that we released. I'll get to that in just a minute, but the CSPOA did indeed issue our press release yesterday documenting our intent to support sheriffs into looking into vote fraud and election fraud. Now, second hour on Liberty Roundtable Live simulcast with the Brighty on TV network, the Sheriff Mac Show. We did talk to Logan County, Oklahoma, Sheriff Damon Devereaux. Logan County, Oklahoma Sheriff Damon Devereaux. And we talked to him, and he agrees that we need to look into vote fraud. And our press release is really important, folks. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPO, is calling on all Americans and law enforcement nationwide to look into the 2020 elections. The question is, Americans, will you back your sheriff? The next question is, sheriffs, will you investigate? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I am convinced that what we've got to have is election solutions. And they start with paper ballots, poll watchers under the penalty of perjury, along with video evidence, video cameras documenting the election counts so that they can go back and revisit it should the need arise as well. That's really critical, folks. And I know it seems like, well, what big deal is that? Well, it's critical. And it's something that we really need to focus on in America. And I don't know if the sheriffs will do it. I think they will, some of them. I don't know if we can move the needle on this. I think it depends on the American people. How willing are the American people to push and make their demands known? So not only did we issue the press release, now we're gearing up and putting together a web page. I'll be able to reveal it hopefully tomorrow or maybe the day after. And that web page will document our press release. It will also document sheriffs that are willing to stand up and investigate. And right now, there's already four sheriffs that are willing to investigate so far that have come on record and have already started investigations. Sheriff Smaling is one of them. Sheriff Leaf is another one of them. Sheriff Darleaf, I happen to know the best, and he's been looking into election fraud for 2 years. And him, along with other sheriffs, are finding that even if they do the investigation, even if they bring the evidence forward, in other words, you know, Sidney Powell talked about the Kraken. Even if they bring the Kraken, I find that DAs and attorney generals and others will not cooperate. They just turn their nose at it. Now, that's a serious problem, folks, because where do we the people fit into the equation of the United States? If we the people are calling for an investigation, if a sheriff is willing to do the investigation because he believes it's justified, warranted, whatever term you want to use, then when the DA or the county commission or whatever else, they just jettison the idea. Where do we go when that happens? What do we do when that happens? And the answer is, if there's not enough American citizens, we're not going to get the job done. This is the ultimate takeaway that I want people to understand. And I'm going to highlight this reality again. Are you ready? The sheriff has authority. He's been given that authority by his election. When he got elected and he was sworn in, he was granted, delegated authority by we the people. And he's got authority vested in him or her, if you will. Tremendous authority. As the executive branch in a county, the chief law enforcement officer, the chief executive in his jurisdiction, which means his county. That's tremendous authority. But ladies and gentlemen, he only has the power that we the people give him by our backing, by our support, by our activism. Okay? Imagine a sheriff who's on his own, who does something that is right, but controversial, such as deciding to open up an election fraud, a vote fraud investigation. If he's all by himself, you know what? The DA is going to laugh at him. The county commission is going to laugh at him. The mainstream media is going to laugh at him. He's going to do his investigation. He's going to turn it over, and it's going to fall on deaf ears, and it's going to be what they call DOA, dead on arrival, right? He has authority, but the authority doesn't take him very far because, hey, he's outgunned, outmanned, outpowered by those around him who also have elected stations to which they answer to, right? Okay, but imagine that same sheriff. Let's just take my county, for instance, because I'm the most familiar with it. There's about 750,000 people in my county. And so just imagine, ladies and gentlemen, a sheriff that has, oh, I don't know, you'll never get 750,000 to back you, but just imagine if 10%, think about that, 10%, 75,000 Americans say, yes, indeed. Not only will we back our sheriff with money, we all put in a dollar a day, you got $75,000 a day to back the sheriff. You think they can take away his budget now? I don't think so. $75,000 a day. All right, now, then imagine that those $75,000 if the DA laughs at him. And those 75,000 Americans in my county, 10%, say, you know what, District Attorney, we don't appreciate you mocking our elected representative here. We don't appreciate you mocking the executive branches you're doing. Shame on you, sir. Shame on you, ma'am. You have a dereliction of duty on our hands, folks, and we are going to demand that you pay attention here. Now, 75,000 people started writing articles to the newspaper in your town, in your county. 75,000 people went to the sheriff's office and said, Sheriff, we're peacefully, politely in the street now, ready to do what you want to do. We're here at City Hall. District Attorney, we need you to come out and talk to us, my friend, because you work for us. You don't work for the deep state, sir, ma'am. No, sir, you work for us. You got this? And 75,000 people politely but insistently said, listen, we are going to look into vote fraud. County commissioners, we need you to come down to City Hall. There's 75,000 of us, and we need answers here because, look, the DA's gone derelict. The sheriff's doing what's right. We're here to support the sheriff in his do right efforts, and we need you to jump to come to the aid of the sheriff here. Now, what do you think the county commission's going to do if literally 75,000 citizens are unified in saying we need something done? This is what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. But when you get 50 citizens that decide they're going to do something kooky like, oh, we're going to go surround the district attorney's house and yell at him from his porch so his daughter panics and fears and grandchildren can't leave or come to the house peacefully, and it's this big okay. We're doing more harm than good with 50 people, 100 people, 200 people, 500 people doing these kind of extreme activities because it makes us look like extremists, number one. Number two, all it does is give officials the reason to crack down more. They'll say, county commission, put a new law in place that you can't surround public officials' homes, that'll constitute trespass. Let's treat it like the abortion clinic laws and force people to back off and be a certain distance away. Then the media goes, oh, my gosh, some wackos are out there protesting, and the governor of the state, the county commissioners, the whatever the entity be, had to back the citizenry off because it was getting kind of squirrely and crazy. See, now they're just painting us as nuts. And there's not enough of us to move the needle politically, morally, at all. See, our nation, my fellow Americans, was designed to prevent the few from gaining control over the many. And that doesn't just work for government officials. It works for all of us. So when we are mad because we can't move the needle for liberty because we have so few people, we need to understand the system is working as it's intended. Is it being used against us? Absolutely. Is it wrong? Without question. But is it reality and will it stay that way? Yes, because our system is designed that way. And then what patriots want to do is they want to somehow disrupt that narrative for their own benevolent causes. Again, a mistake. What the conservatives say is, let's get the military involved then. Let's crack down and arrest the criminals. But now what you're doing is jettisoning the checks and balances in America, and you're trying to use some higher-level tribunal or some status of a king or the like, an elite few, backed by military might to get your will. Well, what's to stop the liberals from doing that? What's to stop the other guys from creating a grand jury? A common law grand jury and indicting, and then what stops the judge, jury, and executioner mentality? What stops the mob mentality? The opposite. One is like kingship, dictatorship, judge, jury, and executioner. The other one's kind of like anarchy takes the cake. The masses rule. Neither makes sense in the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. We have a constitutional republic, and that's checks and balances. And when the few can't move the needle, it's by design. Education is key. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A possible Alaska Airlines strike is looming. This is the last day for pilots to vote on whether to walk out or not. The 3,100-member union says they're looking for better scheduling flexibility and job security. 19 students and at least two adults are confirmed dead after a lone 18-year-old gunman walked into a Uvalde, Texas elementary school and opened fire on Tuesday. Robb Elementary School is located about 85 miles west of San Antonio. The shooter was engaged with law enforcement, but he still entered the unlocked school, where he entered several classrooms and started shooting. Texas Department of Public Safety Lieutenant Chris Olivares on KSAT 12.
At that point, when law enforcement arrived, they made entry into the school in which a suspect exchanged gunfire with law enforcement. Multiple officers were hit by gunfire by the suspect.
The suspect was killed by a Border Patrol agent. USA Radio News.
Did you know most vitamin supplements don't even come from food? Even the products with colorful fruits and vegetables adorning the labels are seldom derived from produce. Typically, supplements are synthetic, made in a laboratory. Modern science may synthetically imitate these chemicals, but your body isn't fooled. It knows the difference, and it craves quality materials to build, repair, and fight illness. You need to consume fruits and vegetables daily in a variety of colors, as well as whole grains and other fresh food. That's why I formulated Balance of Nature. I wanted to be able to give my patients a natural alternative to the cheap, unnatural chemistry by giving them real fruits and vegetables. In fact, the only ingredients inside of Balance of Nature are whole fruits and vegetables. Don't settle for imitation nutrition. Reach for the good stuff, the real stuff.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code USA.
Primaries on Tuesday. GOP Governor Brian Kemp easily defeated former Senator David Perdue. GOP Representative Jody Heiss in his bid to unseat Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger fell short. Former University of Georgia football legend Herschel Walker dominated the state's Republican nomination for U.S. Senate. And Texas Land Commissioner George P. Bush lost his primary challenge to unseat Attorney General Ken Paxton. UCLA has agreed to pay hundreds of millions of dollars.
The University of California system has agreed to pay $375 million to more than 300 women who said they were sexually abused by a longtime UCLA gynecologist. The announcement Tuesday brings total payouts by the university in lawsuits against Dr. James Heap to nearly $700 million. That's the largest amount paid by a public university in a wave of sexual misconduct scandals involving campus doctors.
That's Katie Lewis reporting. We are USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So I'm making the point that, ladies and gentlemen, our system is designed for the few not to be able to take control. And I know you want to wrest control from the thugs, the deep state, or which we consider the few, but it's not really a few when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, you got 435 members of Congress, and then you've got 100 members of the Senate, and then you've got the president and the courts. You know, you got close to 600 people, and then you've got all the enabling people that they appoint and they hire as congressional staffs. You know, let's say each congressional staff has 5-10 staff members, whatever the number be. So now you got 6,000 people, kind of a range, right? And then, you know, that's only on the federal level. And you say, Sam, there's way more government officials than that. I know there's hundreds of thousands. I get it. But I'm just telling you, it's not really the few that are controlling. How many people are there at all levels of government in your quote service? Think about it on the federal level, several hundred thousand. Some say up to a million or whatever. How many people are on your state level? How many states are there? 50 times whatever. How many counties? 3,000 plus. There's like 3,081 counties in America about. Okay. And you put all that together and you say, how many people are we talking about that are in government? Elected, appointed, whatever you want to say. Confirmed, advice and consent provided, whatever. Okay. It's a couple of million people. Now, percentage-wise, according to the nation of 330 million people, is not very many. I get it. But I also get that it's a couple of million. Now, what if a couple of million, what if we take now my example of 75,000 in my county, what if we took a couple of million Americans and they were absolutely eternally vigilant meaning that they were on fire for the sacred cause of liberty. They understood the proper role of government. They understood the checks and balances, and they applied their knowledge to the proper role of limited government and accountability and transparency relentlessly. Now, what do you think would happen? Let's just take the IRS to make my point. The IRS is one of the most evil, satanic, perverted, judge, jury, and executioner institutions we've got in America today. It's abusive, it's hostile, it's hate-filled, and you know what? It turns us all into literally IRS slaves, right? Should I let you know how I really feel? All right. So, but all I'm telling you is, what if 2 million Americans literally said we've had enough of the IRS? And we are going to literally put a dollar a day in to beating, shutting down the IRS. So 2 million Americans, a dollar a day from each American. Now you got $2 million a day. Let me put that in perspective for you. $60 million a month. Almost $1 billion a year. Right? And what if you use that to relentlessly hammer in the media the evils of and the effort to shut down the IRS? And all we really ask for is 2 million people to do a dollar a day, and then for people to take that money and then work in the media, would be providing jobs even, to jettison this unconstitutional, abusive, hostile, hate-filled terrorist organization known as the IRS. Right? Now, imagine we take this next step and we say, in addition to a dollar a day, we're going to get really radical. We're going to send a postcard of love to the IRS. We're going to tell them how much we love them every day. I love you. I can't wait till you're shut down and the criminals that run you are in prison. And what if we created postcards like that? And 2 million Americans sent a postcard every single day to the IRS. Now you're going to basically pay, what, 50 cents or a dollar for your postcard every day. You're going to spend a dollar a day for the money to fuel the engine of media and to focus on this thing. And now you're really committed to $2 a day, 2 million Americans. Now what do you got? You got 2 million postcards going to the IRS every single day. That's 14 million postcards a week, ladies and gentlemen. That's 60 million postcards a month. Times that times 10 months, that's 600 million postcards. And I forgot about the 2 months. Maybe we give them a break for Christmas. I don't know. But all I'm telling you is when you send almost 1 billion postcards saying you want to shut down the IRS, you would absolutely paralyze the post office. You would absolutely bury Congress in paperwork. And you would absolutely have everybody in the nation know of your campaign. It would be impossible to ignore it. Absolutely, literally, utterly, completely impossible to ignore it. And now we would be getting someone's attention. Yeah. Coordinated efforts, ladies and gentlemen. It's called synergism, if you haven't heard of it. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, right? This is something that we can and ought to do. Now, I'm not saying that we need to do this exact example, but my point is when it comes to vote fraud, election fraud, the abuse of an IRS or another given government agency. Look, we need enough of us to make a difference. Right? And what if then those 2 million people started sending postcards to their members of Congress saying, look, if you don't get rid of the IRS tomorrow, we are going to fire you. Look, we can replace all 435 members of you in one election cycle should we choose. See, power, ladies and gentlemen, comes from the people. Authority comes from elections. Okay? And the two together is where we can move mountains. The two together are where we can move mountains. Let me tell you the problem. Americans don't have enough faith in this process. They don't. You say, what is faith, Sam? Faith is a hope in things that are true, that are not seen. Let me say that again. Faith is a hope in things that are true, that are not seen. So in other words, faith is blind, right? For us all. You got to have hope in these things. You got to take a step into the darkness. Now, what about a hope in things, a hope in Christ? is great faith. Faith, according to the scriptures, can move mountains. So how do you understand faith? How do you use faith? How do you make faith grow? You got to ask yourself, is faith a noun or is faith a verb? See, because in the Bible, we're taught that faith without works is dead. So does that mean it's a verb? Well, no, it's really a noun. But if you activate it, it becomes very verb-esque. By the way, is verb-esque a word? Just curious. But what takes this noun faith and makes it a verb? Action, baby. Well, that's what we need in America. We need faith in the system. That's trust, by the way. We need faith in the system, and then we need to make our faith whole by our action. That's what gives faith its wings, if you will. You say, Sam, that's great, but faith is hard to understand. It's one of those simple things. It's one of the most simple fundamental basics of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's also one of the most complicated. Prophets and apostles and scriptorians and experts and theologians have debated and discussed and learned about and studied faith together for centuries, right? So I've got a couple of ideas that might be helpful in terms of what faith is and how to activate faith. Faith is authority given to us by God, authority to believe in him, to trust in him, to turn to him. But that's made actionable by our efforts, by our agency. You know, God, biblically speaking, says, if ye lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give to all men liberally and upbraideth not, the scriptures say. All right, so that means, look, you got to trust that God will answer you, and then you got to take your trust and put it into action, and you got to pray. And if you have trust in God and pray hard, he says he will answer you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you what you lack. That's faith in action, ladies and gentlemen. So I kind of think of faith a little bit like Coca-Cola. You say, what, Sam? Yeah, it's a little bit like Coca-Cola and a little bit like a great steak. Why is it like Coca-Cola? Because I believe there's secret ingredients to faith. Like the secret ingredients, none of us supposedly know the Coke recipe. Now, some say that it's been released now, but we don't know if it's really the true Coke recipe or if it's got all the ingredients or not, and we'll never know. But I believe that faith has a recipe to it. And I believe there are secret ingredients in that recipe, and that's why faith's kind of like Coke. I'll give you a couple of the ingredients, a couple of the secret ingredients even, but you must discover some of them yourself. That's what takes faith and gives it real mojo, real power. God gives it the power, but he promises us that we can unlock it if we do certain things, right? That's right. So faith is important. It's like a little, it's like Coca-Cola in that it's got a secret recipe to some degree. Why is Coke like a great steak, you say? Well, it's interesting. When you go check out barbecue websites and chat groups and everything else, you know, to create a great steak, you got to do a gazillion things. You got to marinate it in whatever ingredients for a certain amount of time, and you got to this and you got to that. And super complicated. I submit to you that faith isn't that complicated. That's one of the secret ingredients, is to understand that faith isn't some complicated thing that you can never understand. It's not so complicated that you can never utilize it. That's not how it is. Faith is simple. When we get back, I'll continue in seconds. I am Sam Bushman, and I've got great hope in the greatest country on the face of the earth. That hope, that desire, is the start of faith. I am Sam Bushman.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman talking about the sacred principle of faith, one of the most fundamental principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but relating to the proper role of limited government. I think it has application as well. We need to have faith in this country. We need to pray to God Almighty and then go to work. That's faith in action. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says, and I believe it. So, ladies and gentlemen, faith is kind of like Coke. There's secret ingredients to it, which I'll get to in a second. Faith is also like a good steak, as I mentioned to you. Everybody wants to seek after the most complicated, great steak they can create. But you know what? If you go to the finest restaurants in the world, let's say you go to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, or you go to some of these Brazilian kind of restaurants, or in other words, the meat experts, so to speak, or you go to some of these Mexican places where some of the meats are just the best you've ever had. 9 times out of 10, you know what they say to you when you say, what's on your steak? They just say salt. I kid you not, salt. That's it. So believe it or not, the best meat is cooked with the least amount of ingredients. And I say that's why faith is like steak, because it's not complicated like the Coke recipe. It is simple, like a great steak. There are secret ingredients to faith, but faith doesn't have that many ingredients. I think faith starts with a hope, a belief in Christ, a belief in and a hope in things that are true but that you can't see. And I believe that faith grows when you take action, when you make your faith real and concrete by your action. Okay? So if I want to, get stronger, I need to exercise, and I can't just sit there and hope that I'm going to get stronger. That hope is wonderful. That desire that leads to hope, or hope that leads to desire, whichever way you want to say it, eventually it's got to lead to action. And that's where faith, the noun, turns into faith, the verb, if you will. Because when action, that makes your faith whole. So if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You hope God will answer. Then you get on your knees and pray to him, and you say, Heavenly Father, I love thee and I lack wisdom. Can you help me with my lack of knowledge, with my lack of understanding, with my lack of whatever? And if you ask in the name of Jesus Christ, he will tell you these things. Well, I bring this up because that's what makes faith whole, that action, right? Well, the same thing is true in America. What are we as Americans doing to turn to God Almighty, the author of our liberty, the real founder of our nation? And what are we doing to have faith in the system that our founding fathers put together? Most people are spending time going, let's work on a con. Well, that's just destructive of, in my opinion, America. It's a con. And it's not going to help us to try to build a better mousetrap, a new way. The old way works if we apply it. Okay? We need to have faith in the system, and then we need to make our faith whole by activating our efforts and those efforts of the people around us. Okay? And I'm convinced that we're not going to move the needle towards election fraud resolution or IRS abuse resolution or any of the things that confront us today if we don't act as Americans in concert with one another with the prize in mind. What's the prize? Liberty for all of us. It isn't a left-right discussion. It isn't a black-white discussion. It isn't a male-female discussion. It isn't a gay-straight discussion. It isn't any of these divide fault lines, whether you believe in election fraud occurred or vote fraud occurred or you believe that it did not. whether you believe your neighbor's psychotic because he believes different than you politically, none of those things are relevant. What is relevant is to understand that we're all children of Almighty God. We should treat each other such and be civil in our actions and our interactions with one another. And then we should apply the principles that made America great. Simple application of the principles starts with faith. Faith in that they can and will work. Then it leads to action. Action to ensure that they work. So now I got my exercise plan together. I hope it'll work. I believe it'll work. Now I'm going to put action in place. And then over time, I can get feedback on my work, on my efforts. Well, I submit to you, faith is the same way, and that's one of the secret ingredients to faith. It's called the circle of faith, is what I call it, where you step into the unknown. You have blind hope that something is accurate, right, correct, but eventually the Lord rewards you with, God rewards you with results of faith. So I'll give you an example. Tithing is a great example of this. God in the Bible says, I'll prove you herewith. Pay your tithing, and you see if the windows of heaven will be opened and blessings poured down upon your head to the point where there'll be not room enough to receive. So I then trust God, and I pay my tithing. I pay 10% of my earnings to God. And then I watch, and you know what? My life goes better. I have more money after paying God his portion than I did before. I know that I have less money. Okay, if I have $1,000 and I pay 10% of it to my tithing, I understand that I only have $900. Okay, don't have you mathematicians call me and say, Sam, you're ignorant. There's less money in your hand. I get it. But I am telling you from experience, from having hope in and faith in the principle of tithing, that if I take $1,000 and give 10% to God, now I only have $900 in my hand. I know from experience that $900 somehow profits me, rewards me, prospers me. I'm not sure what words to use here. Better than the $1,000 would have. So I know that on paper it's only 900 bucks and I have less money. But somehow the Lord makes my money go further. Somehow the blessings come. Somehow the windows of heaven are opened on my behalf. Now, I don't know God's ways. God's ways are not my ways. I understand that I'm just a mere mortal, and I don't really understand all the eternal laws behind the principles, because I'm a mortal, and I don't know that I can understand all that yet. Someday, maybe. Depends on how I behave, you know. If I am obedient. Oh, by the way, that's another secret ingredient to faith, obedience. You've got to be obedient to the commandments of God if you want him to pour these blessings down upon you, just like the principle of tithing. You've got to be willing, ladies and gentlemen, to put your money where your mouth is, to step into the unknown and trust. Trust is another secret ingredient. You got to have trust in God to the point of obedience. Then if you have obedience, you turn your hope into faith by action, praying to God Almighty, and then getting up and going to work. And as your faith is made whole through action, you'll start to see the results of your faith. And it's kind of like a circle. It's kind of like a flywheel. The more you press on that, the more it spins, the faster it goes. That's how your faith can spiral upwards if you remember the Lord your God, or spiral downwards if you forget your God and turn your back on your God. Faith goes away. Well, miracles can be done by God, but he only does miracles among the faithful. Where there is no faith, there are no miracles, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I have faith and I believe in miracles. This is what we need to get back in America. This is the mojo that we lack. This is the hope. This is the solution. It starts with faith. Faith in God, faith in family, faith in country. And you say, Sam, I'm not as religious as you are. I understand. Maybe that's true. But I'm telling you, we better get more religion in America. We better get more morality in America. George Washington taught those are the two great supports for a stable, civilized, moral nation that looks beyond government to God Almighty for answers. Are we that kind of a people? Do we want to be that kind of a people? Are we willing to be obedient to be that kind of a people? See, I think one of the secret ingredients to faith is prayer as well. Prayer to know what to have faith in. Faith in all things are not equal. faith that Sam Bushman's going to make $1 billion tomorrow isn't faith, it's poppycock. Not only is it ridiculous, but why would God grant that to me? What benefit does that really have to build God's kingdom on the earth? Now, it's okay to seek for riches to bless other people, but when am I seeking riches for the right reasons versus when am I off target? You got to be very careful there, see? So faith is a belief in, a hope in things that are not seen, which are true. And I believe as we're before our Maker in humble prayer, we can be guided, even asking God, what should we pray for? Lord, what should I pray for? Lord, how do I use my talents to bless the greatest country on the face of the earth? How do I make a difference in the culture war? How do I make a difference to reject the deep state? How do I turn to God? How do I focus on the family? See, we need to turn to our families as well and strengthen one another and teach one another and encourage each other to have faith. And pretty soon when you get done with this broadcast, you're not all discouraged and melting down and frustrated and angry and ready to go to war. You're saying in your heart and in your mind, I want to be a godly person. I want to be a true follower of Christ. I want to have faith sufficient to repentance. And as I repent, then God can pour down blessings upon me. Lord, what next principle will you teach me? And I believe God can be the great tutor of each of us individually. He knows you. He loves you. He's aware of who you are. And he's aware of your struggles. He's aware of your challenges. He's aware of your concerns. He's aware of your fear. He's aware of all those things. But fear can be turned into faith if you have hope. And then if you let that hope drive you to action to replace fear with faith. The more you pray, the more faith you'll have. The more you trust in God Almighty, the more faith you'll have. The more you have obedience to his commandments, the greater trust and the greater faith you will have. The more that faith leads you to repent daily. Again, you will qualify for the blessings of God Almighty, not because of your own merits, because of his merits, but because he's asked you to do those things. See, when we obey and do what God asks us, have no other gods before me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Honor thy father and thy mother. Keep the Sabbath day holy. These are commandments that he gives us, directions. And it's not that we have any merit of our own when we do these things. But we show him we love him as we keep his commandments and we dedicate our lives to him. The question that I leave you with on this broadcast today, will you let God prevail in your life? Will you try to make your will his will? Will you let your will be swallowed up in the will of the Father as our Savior Jesus Christ did and set the example? Will you decide to be a disciple of Christ today? A follower, a disciple? These are things that I believe we need in America. We need to return to these fundamental realities, these basic eternal principles. And if we do, I believe that the nation will be assured, a stable nation, a blessed nation, a nation of God-fearing people for generations to come. But if we don't, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be very fun as we await the Savior's return. It'll be a very dark future. Very dark days will be ahead. You have your agency. The choice is individually yours. I, for one, we'll be on the Lord's side who. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. How do you start out with vote fraud and end up with faith? It's only on one place. Liberty Roundtable Live. There's no other talk show on the planet like it. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Share the love. It's free. Donate liberally as you can. Every penny will grow our efforts as we tell the tale of liberty. Truth tellers on your radio. 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. God save the Republic of the United States of America.